Psalms chapter 100 tonight, we're going to look at this thought. The only psalm out of 150 with this title. A psalm of praise. You know, praise is powerful. And if you're like me, you figured out exactly what Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. And tribulation, and of course, the Bible also tells us that a man is born, he's got many days full of trouble. You know, this world is going to have trouble. And you're going to have problems. And you can't escape it. You can't get away from it, no matter what you do. Every single person in here, if Jesus doesn't come, your name is going to come off his lips as a prayer request one day. Every single one of us. We're all going that way. You're not going to live forever, and you're not going to have perfect health, and you're not going to have a perfect life, perfect church, perfect family, perfect job. Trouble is surely coming our way. And the reason is because we live in a sin-cursed world and in a sin-cursed body, and we're around sin-cursed people. Everything around us has been touched by sin. Therefore, nothing is perfect. Nothing is perfect. Ladies, if you're looking for the perfect date for this Valentine's, let me help you. It ain't going to happen. Amen? For some of you guys in here, Jackson, you're taking notes right there. Write this down. If you're looking for the perfect girl, she ain't out there. It don't exist. Amen? But why? Because when we get to heaven, what will not be there? Sin. Then everything will be made perfect. We'll have a perfect body, a perfect mind, be with perfect people, worshiping a perfect Savior. But until then, we're going through tribulation. But yet, you know what should be rolling off our lips? Praise. Why? Because of we know who He is, and He knows who we are. And we got a relationship like we talked this morning, so we should be full of praise. And the Bible says that this is supposed to be a house of worship. And we come here on Sunday to worship the Lord. And maybe you don't understand this, but let me help you. We go to church on Sunday for a reason. And it's not because that's what Papa decided we was going to do. We go to church on Sunday every single week. We meet on the first day of the week to worship our resurrected Savior. This is the day of the resurrection. Every day is Resurrection Sunday. And so every Sunday is a day of worship and praise. And maybe you've had a bad week, but yet you still got a reason to praise the Lord. And we're getting ready to go into another week. Let's launch it with praise. Don't you agree? And so when you get around God's people and people start worshiping and praising, church turns into a good time. And it's good to be around the people of God. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 100, verse number 1, says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." I want to just go verse by verse in these five verses tonight, and let's just think about this. And all of us, myself included, this morning I preached to myself, I'm going to preach to myself again tonight. All of us need to realize that our praise should be going on through the week. If Satan robs you of your praise, he's going to rob you of your joy. And one of the best things you can do when things are going south is find somewhere to just start worshiping the Lord. Even when you don't feel like it, it'll change the whole circumstances when your heart starts praising God. You mentioned that lady that had cancer. I imagine Satan jumped on her back and her mind was getting the best of her. But I guarantee you the clouds would break a little bit when she'd get into His presence. Just start worshiping Him. Just start praising Him. So the first thing we need to see in verse number 1 tonight, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." If there's one thing that I've been... it's been revealed to me and I've been exposed to is this. We are very cultural in our worship. We're very cultural in how we go to church and how we've got Jesus in a box. But let me tell you something. I believe when we get to heaven, we are all going to be totally shocked at the worship that's going to go on. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 5 that there's a multitude of people out of every kindred and every tribe and every tongue. My, how they come together, and they're all worshiping Jesus Christ. And we call Him Jesus. But over there in Israel, they call Him Yeshua. And over there in Mozambique, they call Him Yesu Christu. And you know, all over the world, they call Him all kinds of names, but it's all the same person. There's no other name given under heaven wherein you must be saved. That's the name that every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess. So all ye lands are coming together. But I've noticed this. We go over to Mozambique, and they enter the church dancing. Now, could you imagine that in the Independent Baptist Church in Tennessee? Oh, we'll all split hell wide open tonight on that, right? But they enter dancing. And them ladies will take their little sandals off. And their feet look like they've never put a pair of shoes on their life. And they'll start dancing. And they'll start worshiping the Lord. And the next thing you know, and some of them got babies on their back. This ain't no joke. Them babies hit like that the whole time. The whole time. I looked at Sandra over there one day and I said, there ain't no such thing as shaking baby syndrome because there's look at them babies. And you know what she said? She said, that's the reason they got rhythm. They're doing it when there's a newborn. They've been doing it the whole time. But them ladies, they're sitting there and them babies strapped on their back and they're just singing and worshiping the Lord, sweat pouring off of them. Pouring off of them. You say, well, they ought not act like that. They're worshiping the Savior. And then you may go somewhere and you go up to Scandinavia area and go up there to the north part of Europe and you'll find some people up there worshiping Jesus. And they may do it in a more somber setting. But yet from their hearts, they may be lifting up their voices in a nice building and you think, wow, these people are dead as they can be. But when they start singing His name, tears may come to their eyes. They may worship Him in a different method, but they're still worshiping from the heart. You see the difference? All ye lands. It's amazing, but we've got it to where we think, well, you got to do it this way, and you got to sing this song, and you got to do it that. Let me tell you something. You worship Him from your heart, and you worship Him for who He is, and what He is, and what He's done. I'm on board. I'm on board. So He says, all ye lands. Don't ever forget this. You don't have to be American to get to heaven. You don't have to be Baptist to get to heaven. You got to be born again to get to heaven. And so we're all going to be worshiping Him. And what do they say in Revelation chapter 5? Who are they worshiping? The Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. It's all about the Lamb. All right, so verse number 1 says that everybody's included and everybody's involved. All ye lands, make a joyful noise. And I believe it will be joyful one day, don't you? All right, so go to verse number 2. And He says this. Serve the Lord with gladness. Isn't it amazing how upbeat this whole chapter is? So with a joyful noise, then He says, serve the Lord with gladness. And that goes back to this morning what we talked about. Serving the Lord is not a burden. Serving the Lord is not gruesome. Serving the Lord is not bondage. But serving the Lord is a privilege. And it should be a privilege. And if tonight, if your Christian walk with the Lord is one of, I gotta, I have to, I'm obligated, I'm this, I'm that, or it's out of guilt or manipulation, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And it's not with the Savior. It's either something's been twisted in your mind or your heart's far from Him and you really don't want to, but it's a joy to serve the Lord. You may not want to be here tonight, but I wanted to preach. I was up there at the whatever y'all call that place. The shelter. I was just, you put me in a shelter. Can you believe that? I was up there at the shelter getting treated like a dog today, and I couldn't wait to get down here to preach to you. It's exciting. You know what I like about Brother Dale? I think he is excited to come to choir practice tonight. One of my favorite things about coming here is he gets up here, and the mics are so hot on Sunday morning, you can hear yourself breathe. And he gets up here to say, all right, choir, let's go, choir. You know what? He wants to be here. And he's excited about it. And that's the way it should be. Don't you agree? Listen at these verses right here. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 3. Listen to what the Bible tells us. Verse number 2. start with that one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2, it says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. This is full circle what I preached this morning. Why do we serve Him? Because we love Him. Listen to what He says. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and we keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not what? They're not grievous. They're not a burden. It's not a burden to live for the Lord. It's not a burden to give. It's not a burden to give. Some people will say, well, you preach on giving, boy, you browbeat us into it, so we're going to give. Well, if you give out of a guilty conscience or you give out of obligation, you're still, your heart's far from it. But if His commandments are not grievous. They serve the Lord with gladness. We serve Him. Turn with me to Matthew. Look at this scripture. I'm sure you know exactly which one I'm going to. Matthew chapter number 12, I believe it is. Matthew chapter 11, rather. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28 says this. Jesus Himself says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Goes back to just this morning. What do you put a yoke on? Oxen, a servant. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. Here it is. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's a joy to serve the Lord. Some people talk about Sandra and I going to Africa. And I'll be honest with you. This time when we go, we're going to go into, we're going to have some pastors' conferences, but we're going into some other places where we probably have to sleep in the tent again and all that stuff. But I guarantee you, before I get on that plane to take that 15-hour plane ride, there'll be a sense of excitement come up in me. And you say, well, how can you be excited about it? Because it's not a burden. Because you're doing it for the Lord. You're doing it because you love God, you love people. It's a joy. That's the way the Christian walk should be. And tonight, if you're here and you've lost your joy, there's nothing wrong with the Savior. Something's wrong with the heart. It's the heart. He says, worship the Lord, make a joyful noise, all ye lands. But then He says, and serve the Lord with gladness. Isn't it fun to serve God? You know what? If we don't get that mentality out of our churches, every church, every single church in America is going to die. They're going to die. And I brag on this guy all the time. He's my football buddy. You see that? How old are you, Jackson? You're 17 years old. In high school, you're junior? High school junior. Plays football. Let me tell you what. And Lord willing, and I've already told the preacher about it and told his dad about it, and I got this great vision that I'd love to have the whole football team sitting here in that revival, wouldn't we have? Wouldn't that be something? But you know why the football team ain't here? You know why this church ain't full of 200 teenagers? Let me tell you why. Because Satan has convinced everybody his age that this is church. That's what church is. And, 6 o'clock, can't wait till 7 o'clock, let's go, get it over with, blah, blah, blah. And they, because why? Every young person, and all young people, they're looking for fun. And that don't mean we should water it down or anything, but they should be around, when they're around God's people, they see some joy. They see some excitement. But when those young people come in, and they look over here, and this guy's sitting over here going, and this lady over here is going, and the preacher's up here going, it's a joy to be saved. And looking around saying, I don't think it is. Really not. Amen? So here in Psalm chapter 100, it's a song of praise. But now praise don't just come off your lips. It comes off how you live. From your heart. All right, so we go on. In Psalm chapter 100, going back there, verse number 3 says this. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now, verse number 3, if you're taking notes, breaks it down to 3 reasons we should worship the Lord. There's 3 reasons. The first one is we should worship Him for who He is. Amen. That means that if I'm laying on my back in a hospice and I can't take and breathe for myself, but I have enough conscience to know that I'm alive, I still should be worshiping the Lord. Not because I have a reason to, but because of who He is. That's why I worship Him. That's the reason Jesus says, or the reason the Word of God says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. You know, you don't even have to be saved. You're still commanded to praise God because you have breath. He says we should do it because of who He is. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. That means on the darkest day I'm still worshiping Him, still praising because of who He is. He's the Creator. He's the Savior. He's the King. He's the Master. He's the Lord. He deserves to be worshipped. That's the reason. You remember that first video, Brother Richard? That's the reason when I go to Africa, a lot of times I have a bad attitude when I go there. I'll tell you the truth. I have a bad attitude. My hair don't look right. Amen. Some days I can't shave. I can't find anything good to eat. Can't find anything cold to drink. Sleeping on the ground. Can't stay clean. Everything's dirty, disgusting, and nasty. And after a while, I get grumpy. You can't help it. And then they're going to parade me across this little dusty trail into this little makeshift little hut. And they're going to say, now you preach to us. Now, guess who's not qualified to preach at that point? Right? Yeah. Now, here I'm going to go preach. And before I preach, they'll get ready to do something like this. And before it's over with, I realize I have no reason to be grumpy. Amen. I should be worshiping the Lord. Amen. And this is in the village of Makosa. He's getting ready to play this for you in a second. This is the village of Makosa. And these young girls are worshiping and praising the Lord. And they're praising God. And they're singing a song, and you're not going to be able to understand it, but so I'm going to tell you what they're saying. They're saying, Jesus Christ died for us. He paid for our sins. And they'll do a hand motion, and they wrote His name on the sign, King of the Jews, and they nailed it to the top of the cross. Now, I'm sitting right in front of these girls when they sing this song. And by the time they're over with, I'm like, give me my Bible. I want to preach. Why? They're worshiping Him for what? Who He is. These girls, listen, if something don't happen, those 10, 11-year-old girls, in about 3 or 4 years, if some of them in these villages will get pregnant. And at 13, 14-year-olds, they'll have a child. And their whole life from there on will be a life of servitude. They'll go to the watering hole every single morning, get a crank that water out, get a 5-gallon bucket of water, put it on their head, march back to their little hut, build a fire, warm that water up, and that's what they'll cook, and that's what they'll clean their babies with. For the rest of their life, they'll do that. They'll never drive a car. They'll never go to a university. They'll never experience the things you experience. But yet, here they are. All ye lands, make a joyful noise. Worship Him for what? Who He is. Play it for me if you would. Listen to them. They were just worshiping for who He is. All right? And that's what Psalms tells us. You got sound on that?
Oh, my God.
they worshiping? Know ye the Lord? Who He is. Who He is. That's why He deserves praise. You remember that the next time? Things ain't going your way. Job ain't going its way. Your family ain't going its way. You don't feel good. You still got a reason to worship for who He is. That's what Psalms is telling us there. And I'm afraid one day when we get to heaven and they start doing that, old time conviction may set in around the throne. Because here we sit in America, got it all, and we got a big prod and prime people to worship the Lord. Something's wrong, don't you agree? Do you realize if we worship like that, and Jackson invited some of his friends from football, they'd be like, these people, they excited about something. These people, what they so happy about? What they worshiping about? It's contagious. Did you know that? So Psalm chapter 100, verse number 3, gives us three reasons. And the first one is right there. We could call time out right now and just praise His name the rest of the night. Don't you agree? But look at the next thing. He says, know ye the Lord? He is God, number one. Number two, it is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. Now we're going to worship Him for what He's done. He did it, not we ourselves. It's He that blessed me, not me. It's He that saved me. I didn't save myself. It's He that gave me the calling to preach. I didn't decide that. He did that. It's He that made me born in America. I didn't choose this. By God's grace, I was born in this country. It's He that gave me my wife. Grace. It's He that gave me that son that drove across from Asheville this morning to come to church. It's He that gave me my daughter. It's He that made my heart beat the last 5 seconds while I've been preaching. It's He that put air in my lungs while I'm preaching to you. It's He that makes when He says my name, I can comprehend. That's my name. It's He that gave me the ability today when we went to lunch so I could take that fork, feed myself, fed myself. It's He that made me be born in the land that I could turn a spigot on, get clean water come out. It's He that blessed me. It's He. It's He. It's He. That's called grace. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above. Down from the Father of lights. That's called grace. And did you know that when we start to realize that and that dawns on us, all pride goes out the window. Look at this verse. This is one of my favorite verses in the New Testament. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 7. Anytime you ever start getting pride, you start thinking, well, I've done this and I've done that. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7. Paul says this, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? If you got anything, you received it. That means God gave it to you. And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory? How didst thou didn't receive it? Boy, ain't we full of that. You know what that's called? That's called pride. Let me tell you what I did. If you're not careful, God will show you what you did. Some people say, well, I tell you why, I got this house and I got this car and I've got this. I've worked hard for it. I've worked hard for it, preacher. Well, I give you that. But guess what? Who gave you the health to go to do that job? Who gave you the ability to go do that job? Who gave you the opportunity to live in a country where you could go have a job? Well, I believe it all goes back to it come from Him, don't you? So we have a reason to worship Him. We can be like those girls. We need to worship for who He is. Then the second thing is we ought to worship for what He's done because it's He who did it. He said, not we ourselves. He hath made us. Back to Psalms chapter 100. Hopefully when you leave here tonight, you won't be in a bad mood the rest of the week. Psalm of praise. The end of that verse says this. Number one, he says, we worship Him for who He is. Know ye the Lord, He is God. Number two, we worship Him for what He's done. It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. Then the third one is this. This is where it gets sweet. For we are His people. We are His people. We're His sheep. The sheep of His pasture. You know what that gets? That's when it gets mushy. You ever got just sweet with the Lord? See, we can praise Him and glorify Him, but sometimes praise don't go to shouting. It just goes to a sweet, holy hush to realize He loves me. I'm His child. He's my friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's my father. And I get to say to Him, Abba, Abba, His ears come. That's my father. That's my father. I'm His, our people. This morning, Lindsay sat there, and a lot of you spoke to her, and you know what? And she's got friends, and she's got this. You can tell what she is to me? She's my daughter. And I guarantee you, she could have been standing back there, and I could have said, Lindsay! Why? Relationship. Relationship. Special. Do you see that? Isn't it good to know that you're His child? You're His child. And don't ever let Satan twist it. Let me help you something. He loves you. He loves you. He said, but boy, I've done some bad things. No matter what that girl did, I'll always love her. She'll always be my daughter. I mean, there's been times I'd ready to kill her. But you know what? That's my daughter. And I'd fight heaven and earth. Why? Because she's mine. One of my favorite songs. I played this. I preached a message at the Jubilee at Trinity. My dad was sitting there 2 weeks before he passed away. I'll never forget it. But one of my favorite songs is, Now I Know That He Is Mine and I'm His forever. And He is leading me along life's way. He'll be holding to my hand when I come to cross Death's River. You realize that? He's mine. And I'm His. That's the reason to worship Him, don't you think? All right, Psalms chapter 100. Let's move on. All right, so verse number 3, if you ever get where you can't find a reason to praise Him, remember those 3. Verse number 4, let's look at this one. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. Verse number 4, I believe, is a glimpse of heaven. Because back in those days, in the Roman days, and back in those days, in the days of kings, they would send people out. David experienced it. Remember, David came back, and he was dancing in the streets, and the people got all jealous. But remember, back in those days, rather, they would go out, the armies would go out to fight, and they'd go out to battle. And the kings and the rulers would go out. They would go out to, when they came back home, the people would welcome them with a parade. They'd welcome them with a joyous celebration, homecoming, reception. And as the soldiers would march in, the people would be rejoicing, and jubilant, celebration, and dancing, singing with a loud voice. They would welcome their king. Well, guess what's going to happen one day? He's not going to be coming back, but He's going to bring us to Him. We're going to enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Some people, listen, take Hollywood and throw it away. Heaven is not some fair-skinned, pale-skinned angel floating around on a cloud, boring, stringing something. I believe heaven, yes, sir, is going to be better than Knoxville, Tennessee on game day Saturday. Yes, hallelujah. It's going to be pumped up. Why? Because victory. Welcome home. And I believe when we walk in, it's going to be enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. That's what it's going to be. Heaven, how wonderful heaven will be. And I don't believe, after 30 minutes, some people ain't the Baptist, they're going to be saying, well, you think we could wind this up a little bit? I believe it's going to get so good, we're just going to go on and on and on and on. All right? So let's look at the last verse here. Verse number 5 tells me this. It says, For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Let me help you with verse 5. He says, the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting. You know when you can say the Lord is good? When everything else is bad. That's when it hits you, the Lord is good. And you got to realize when the psalmist is writing this, things aren't great for the nation of Israel. Things aren't, when David writes these psalms, a lot of these psalms David writes when he's hiding in a cave from Saul. A lot of these psalms, they're being written under extreme circumstances. But yet they're praising the Lord. So verse 5 tells me that never forget, the Lord's good. Remember the biggest lie that Satan told Eve, he tried to convince Eve, God's not for you. He knows that when you eat of this, that your eyes are going to be open. And you're going to be like God's. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want what's best for you. And the next thing you know, Eve took the bait. Because she didn't realize the Lord's good. He's on my side. He's on my side. We're on the winning side. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 129. Let me show you something. Psalms chapter 129. Psalms chapter 120, I believe it's through 134, is what they call Song of Ascents. If you have a Scofield Bible, they call it degrees. But a Songs of Ascents are psalms of this. When the Israelites were going up into the temple in Jerusalem, as they ascended up those steps, they would be singing songs of Zion. That's what that means. So, the priest and the children, as they ascended up into the temple to offer their sacrifices to the Lord, to go up into the temple, as they ascended up those steps, they would be singing these songs. And Psalms 129 is one of them. Listen at this psalm, how it starts off, Psalms 129. Many a time have they afflicted me. Then it says, verse 2, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. You know what that tells me? Many a time. He said, I can't even count the times. Many a time. Many a problem. Many a trouble has come with me. Has, from my youth, it's afflicted me. Tonight, as we sit here, you may tell you, I'm looking at people, and you're saved, and you're sitting in the church tonight, but behind those faces, and behind all your Sunday church stuff, you know what's behind that? Depression, and anxiety, and fear. And worry, and battle after battle, and trouble after trouble, troubled relationship, troubled in jobs, troubled financially, peer pressure, all kinds of stuff. Guilt, some false guilt, some real guilt. All that stuff is going through our minds, and many, 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 many a problem. Many a time. See, he may not get up here and mention your issue because you don't want anybody to know. He'll talk about cancer and he'll talk about a surgery, but your battle is just as big as somebody having surgery because you're about to lose your sanity. Or about, because you're trying to have peace. Or you're trying to reconcile your relationship with that brother. You're trying to reconcile your relationship with that child who's wayward. And it goes on and on and on we go. And listen, men battling stuff in our minds and we don't want to tell anybody. Women battling stuff you don't want to tell anybody. But many a time have they afflicted me. Many a problem, many a trouble. And what's our enemies? He says, he doesn't even say who they are. He says, they have afflicted me. Verse 1, they, he didn't even name them. But we could name the Israelites' enemies, the Syrians and the Jebusites and the Moabites and the Philistines and the Canaanites. And it goes on and on and on and on. They had many enemies. But we got three. Our three enemies, number one is old Satan. And he fights. Number two is the world we live in. And then number three is your worst enemy. And that's your old flesh. And boy, that enemy's come at us every single day. Every single day. They come and they come and they come and they come. But yet, when are they singing this song of ascents? When are they singing it? While they're still coming at them. Many a time have they afflicted me. Many a time have they come against me. Many a time have they come. Have you ever had any bad days recently? Raise your hand. Of course you have. But look what he says here. Verse number 2. He says, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed. You know why they're singing? I'm beaten, I'm worn, but I'm still in the fight. They have not beat yet. I'm still on the winning side. So he says, I'm going through this, but I'm on the winning side. Listen, he says that the Lord, had it not been the Lord who was on our side. That's what he says in Psalms also. So while you're, verse number 5 of Psalms 100 says, the Lord is good. He's good. So I'm going to worship Him. And I'm going to praise Him. And boy, when you start praising Him in the darkest hour, you'll feel His presence real close. That's when you'll start to see a little sun come through. That's when the burden will start lifting a little bit. That's when Psalms 100 got all the way to the bottom and it got deep. Many a time have they afflicted me. Many a problem has come my way. Yet I would say the Lord is good. And His mercy, Psalms 100, go back there. And His mercy is everlasting. That's how I want to end it. And His truth endureth to all generations. Amen. You know what that means? It's contagious. That means it's contagious. Some people think in order to have a church 50 years from now, you're going to have to change the way you're doing it. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I just believe you got to do it from your heart. Amen. Honestly. I don't think you need to paint the ceilings black and find smoke screens. If you ever do, please invite me though. I'd love to be raised up out of something. Smoke screen. Would that be something? Here I am, baby. Here and all. Could you imagine that? That'd be crazy. But you got to do that to get young people. Let me tell you something. Young people see through all the smoke screens. But it's contagious. It goes to generations to generations. You know why I'm here today? Keith Hutchinson. Saved and born again. My dad was James Hutchinson. He was saved at an old-fashioned tent meeting on the Cherokee Indian Reservation by a crazy evangelist named Clifford Hornbuckle. I remember his testimony as a teenage boy. You know who took him to that tent meeting? His dad. His dad got saved. He was already married, sitting on his porch, or walked out of the porch of his house, heard that they were having revival in Canton, North Carolina, could hear it, said, walked up there, went to revival, God saved him that night. Walked back in his house, opened the door, walked in, told his wife, said, praise God, got saved tonight. Amen. His dad was the guy they called Big Daddy. His name was James Hudson too, my great-grandfather. He had a reputation that he walked with God. I never got to meet him, but my dad would tell me stories about him, how he loved the Lord, a man of great integrity, and served God. You may tell you what? I didn't do it because of whatever he had, but it just got passed down. Here I am tonight. I'm born again. And this morning you've seen that son sitting back there, 23 years old, born again. And one day if God ever blesses him, I hope that God stirred him enough, it's real enough, he's walking with God, be passed down. It endures through generation after generation after generation. And what you have here, church, is something extremely, extremely, I can't tell you enough, it is special. But you better guard it. And you better give it your all. Because you're that generation, those little babies back there, and these little children, sometimes when I come and they give a offering for Mozambique, and you have Bible school and you see these running around. Listen, there's one sitting right there. What's her name? Macy? Macy! Hallelujah, Macy. How old's Macy?
3.
3. Guess what? She needs it. She needs it. Let me tell you why you better give it your all. Because if something don't happen, and the doors don't stay open, where the Spirit of the Lord is, her generation's gone. But it endures to every generation. In other words, what it is, it's contagious. But it don't just contagious to the next generation. Let me tell you what it is. It's contagious to people around you. It is. I'll be honest with you. I like sitting here beside him in church sometimes. Seriously. Because you know how he acts? He gets all... See, sometimes he'll kick his foot out there. He'll say, and they'll start singing and say, yes, yes. And I'm like,
Yes! I don't know what we're yesing about, but yes! Why? It's contagious. Right? And it is. You get around people that are serving the Lord, next thing you know, you want to serve the Lord. You get around people who are worshiping the Lord, I want to worship the Lord. And that's what those girls do to me in Africa. They worshiping the Lord, I want to worship the Lord. And you're contagious. Husband, you're contagious to your wife. Wife, you're contagious to your husband. You're contagious to your children. You're contagious to the people around you. And when next time you come in here, don't expect Brother Dale in the choir to get you ready to worship. You ought to walk in here ready to worship. I hope the first night, and I'm starting on Sunday morning or Monday night? Sunday morning? Revival?
Probably Thursday night.
Probably Thursday night through Friday. See what I deal with? But whenever I come, the first service I come in here, I hope presence of the Lord. I hope when I walk through that door, I'm like, whoo, they ready to go. That's what it's about, don't you agree? Sandra will tell you, I go in some churches and I walk in and I'm like, oh my word, they want me to preach here? Because they act like God's dead and word is funeral. Terrible. Terrible. It's contagious. It is. It's contagious. And I've preached before, get in the car, Sandra looks at me and says, boy, you struggled in there, didn't you? Well, that helps me a lot. She says, she knows. She knows. But it's contagious. And when you get around that, next thing you know, it'll rub off on you. But wouldn't it be nice for you to rub off on somebody? Get that next video ready for me. Make sure we got the volume up good. I was listening to this the other night laying in my bed. You ever heard that old song? Love Lights the Way? You ever heard it? Listen to these words. His love lights the way. I travel today. I'm shouting the victory. My sadness is past. I'm happy at last. His love lights the way for me. Then they got excited. And I'll be honest with you, it's the kind of church I like to go to because I wasn't there. But by the time they got done singing, I wanted to go. By the time they got done singing, I was ready to preach. His love lights the way I travel today. I'm shouting the victory. Imagine going up the steps into the temple, the children of Israel, many troubles, many problems. You know your own problems. And singing a song something like this. Amen? Yeah. And it'll get contagious. Play it for him. Make sure it volumes up. That'll fire you up. You know what I like? The guy who's leading things in overall. He don't care. I'm happy at last. Ain't that good, Brother Dale? Listen, I like it singing. He's playing. Hey, them people in that church are full of problems. They're full of trouble. But what are they doing? Now they dropped the music. They said, let's just forget it all soon. Shout the victory, even going up the steps, with many troubles and many problems. Isn't that wonderful? You know what we've lost? Worship. Worship. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Thanks be unto God that over 2,000 years ago, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Psalm of Praise was penned. Five verses. The only chapter in all of Psalms is called the Psalm of Praise. And it's a challenge for us as we sit here and live a life of great blessing. Don't focus on what you don't have. Focus on the God. Who He is, what He's done, and that I belong to Him. Bless His name.